Welcome back. Wonderful to see everyone. Parshas Noach, let us begin. Fascinating Medrash, in the Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Lamed Gimel. So the Medrash tells us that when Noach told the raven to go on its mission, the raven began to respond with arguments to Noach. Amar lo, it said to him, Mikolov sheyesh kan ein atah mishaleach elali. Why is it from all the birds that are here in this teva, you are only sending me out on this dangerous mission? Amar lo, Noach said to the raven, I have chosen you because matzorech la'olam b'cho. What good does the world have for a bird like you? Lo la'achila, not to eat, lo la'karban, not for a sacrifice. Rabbi Brachia b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Kahana Omer, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach, Kablo, accept this raven back into the teva. Why? She'asid ha'olam lihitztarech lo. Because ultimately, eventually, the world will have a need for this bird in the future. Amar lo, Noach said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emasai, when will this be? When will that time be that the world will have a need? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach, Ad yevoshes hamayim me'al ha'aret, until the waters dry from upon the earth. Asid sadik echad lamod, there will be a time where there will be a certain tzaddik, a certain righteous individual, la'amod, will arise, will yabesh es ha'olam, and dry up the world. Ve'ani matzricholo, and I will cause him to have a need for this raven. Tichsiv, it says, ve'ha'arvim mevim lo lechem u'basar ba'boker, ve'lechem u'basar ba'arev. That the arov, the ravens, would bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evenings. This is a pasuk in Malachim, referring to none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu swore to Ahav that there would not be dew nor rain during the coming years of Ahav's rule until Eliyahu had ordered so. Eliyahu is then forced to hide in order to avoid being killed by Ahab and his wife who were chasing after him. While he was hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had arranged for these ravens to provide him with his needs, with his sustenance, with food. And of all the birds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the raven in order to show him that even the raven, which typically refuses to provide even for its own offspring, still has some level of comfort, still has something to share. And that is going to be a very, very important yesod, a very important theme that we're going to be discussing tonight. Very, very beautiful, beautiful medrash. Though at the end of the day, we still need clarity. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless didn't choose another bird? At the end of the day, the original taina, the original complaint that Noach had given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or had given to the Arov, that you have no purpose, still held true. Why couldn't he provide, why couldn't he bring a food, why couldn't there be a bird that was tahar? Why did we have to rely upon this tummy type of bird? Perhaps it could have been that a different type of bird would have been more worthy of bringing food to Eliyahu HaNavi. So that's our first question. At the end of the day, why was it that a different bird cannot have been used for the very same reason that at the end of the day, this is a bird that has no purpose? Let a bird that is tahar, that could be used for Torah mitzvos. In other words, the same reason why we come and we burn the lulav by Pesach, by Bir Chametz is because from one mitzvah we want to use a different mitzvah. So a bird that's going to be shechted, a bird that's going to be used as a carbon, a bird that's going to be used to sustain people. So let that bird also be a bird that will come and bring Elio Hanavi's food. Why Bedafka use the raven to bring food for Elio Hanavi? That's our first question. So the Torah tells us, very interestingly, that because the world was filled with corruption, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed this world. As Rashi says, Lo nichtam gzardin ela al hagzela, that the world was destroyed, or the makib apatish, the gzardin, the verdict was decreed upon the world because of gezel. However, if you look at the Medrash comes and tells us that there were other chatoyim, there were other sins that were taking place during the course of Noach's generation. Amar Reb Levi. Reb Levi tells us Chomas, that when the Torah says ki mala ha'aretz chomas, when the world was filled with chomas, corruption, ze avodah zarah. It's avodah zarah, that the world was filled with idolatry. Or perhaps chomas, ze gilui arayos, the world was filled with immoral behavior. Or chomas, says Rabbi Levi, it was filled with murder. People would murder each other. So then the Medrash continues and says, Chomas ze avodah zarah. So Chomas, corruption, is avodah zarah, brings a pasuk, right? What's the pasuk? Ki mala ha'aretz chomas. That the world was filled with chomas. The pasuk that we use. Or Chomas ze gilui arayos. Or perhaps Chomas is gilui arayos, because we have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Chamasi usheiri al bavel. So again, we see that this chomas can be referred to as gili arayas as well. Or perhaps chomas is shvichas damim, as it says, me chomas b'nei Yehuda shir shavchu dam naki. So chomas kimashmo. Or perhaps chomas is, in its most basic sense, it's mashmo. It's referring to none other than gezel and robbery. Now asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky a very insightful question. And that is that the pasuk that is used for Avodah Zarah, that Chomas Ze Avodah Zarah, is the pasuk in our parsha. Ki Molo Ha'aretz Chomas, that the world was filled with corruption. Asks Rabbi Yaakov, just leave it at Chomas Kimashmo, that Chomas is in its most basic meaning, Kimolo Ha'aretz Chomas. In other words, why not use the pasuk of Kimolo Ha'aretz Chomas Bipneihem to teach us that it refers to Gezel? The Medrash doesn't use the pasuk of Kimolo Ha'aretz Chomas to teach me Gezel, but rather, the Medrash uses that pasuk to teach me that it's referring to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, it's more mashma, says the Medrash, that the word chomas means corruption. And seemingly, kimola ha'aretz chomas, that the world was filled with corruption, filled with people that steal. Typically, Avodah Zarah isn't used as chomas. But kimashmo, in its most basic understanding, it is used to refer to someone that steals. There are other ways to express idolatry. Chomas isn't the most typical one. And yet, the Medrash uses our pasuk in our parsha to tell us that chomas zu avodas kochavim. Difficult to understand the Medrash choice of psukim in lieu of the fact that the Medrash itself says that the mashmos, the most basic understanding of the word chomas, is actually referring to gezel, stealing. So that's our second question. And our final question is a very well-known medrash as well in Bereishis Rabba, based upon the pasuk of Eile Toldos Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya B'dorosav, that he was an Ish Tzadik, he was a righteous man, B'dorosav, in his generation. Rashi quotes this Medrash and tells us Yesh Merabosenu Darshim also Lishvach Lishevach, that there are those that expound and explain this idea of Noach being a tzaddik as a praise, kol shekein, meaning even more so, she'ilu hoya bedor shel tzaddikim, if he would have been in the generation of the tzaddikim, haya tzaddik yoser, he would have been even a greater tzaddik. V'yish darshim oso lignai, and there are those that expound, that explain this, to his detriment, l'fidoro haya tzaddik, to his generation, he was a tzaddik, v'yilu hoya b'doro shel Avram, but if he would have been in the generation of Avram, lo hoya nechshav l'klom, he would have been nothing. He would have been irrelevant. Now the obvious question asks Rav Schwab, is lama nidrosh limso genai acher shehakosov zichro l'shavach? Why is it necessary for the Medrash to come and tell us, lignai, that there's something perhaps to understand to his detriment, or lignai, it's coming to belittle him, if the pasuk itself says Noach ish tzaddik? In other words, why would I go out of my way to try to learn that perhaps there is an explanation to assume it's lignai to his detriment, or not to his benefit, or to disparage him? Why would I think it's there to disparage him? The pasuk tells us, you can't get more clear. Noach ish tzaddik. For Schwab explains that unlike the Avos, Avraham, his child, his descendants, was Yitzchak. And Yitzchak's descendants stemmed from Yaakov. And Yaakov's descendants are the Shiftei Kah, the Shvatim. From the descendants, one is able to determine the godless, the greatness of the Avos. The Shiftei Kah were so holy. Their names were on the Urim V'Tumim. Their names were worn by the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Yaakov Avinu was someone that sat and learned Torah uninterrupted, was able to live in the home of Lavan, im Lavan garti, over Taryag mitzvah shamarti, I lived in the house of Lavan, and I kept the Taryag mitzvahs v'lo lemanati mimasev Aram, and I didn't learn from his evil ways. Yitzchak Avinu was willing to bring himself up as a karbon, and he was such a holy, holy person. He was totally removed from Olam Hazeh. We know who Avraham Avinu is based upon his offspring, the generations that came from him. Noach. Look who came from Noach. Anshei Rasha Nifloim, terrible Rishoyim, like Nebuchadnezzar and Haman and Titus. So the Torah is Megala to us, the Torah is revealing to us that it can't be that he was a total tzaddik without at least questioning his actual tzidkus, his actual level of righteousness. There's something beneath the surface that the Torah is megalat to us. The Torah reveals to us. The Torah has insight. The Torah is bochen levavos. There must have been something. Something about Noach and his tzidkus that was just off. There was something missing. And that's pshat in the Medrash v'ilu hoya b'doro shel Avram. If he would have been in the generation of Avram, like Avram, he wouldn't have amounted to anything. Because Avram, he produced children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that would continue the Mesorah. The Mesorahs Ha'avos, the traditions of the Avos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You can tell a lot about a person based upon their descendants, based upon the generations that follow. You know, the Mishnah in Avos tells us, Have mi talmidav shel Aaron. Oev shalom, be a rodev shalom, mikarvan la Torah, and bring people closer to Torah. And I was always bothered by this medrash. Why does it say, Have mi talmidav shel Aaron? Be like the disciples, the students of Aaron. It should say, Have mi Aaron. Be like Aaron. Be like Aaron HaKohen. Why are you going to Talmidim? Go to the source. You don't say, be like the student, be like the Rebbe. So Taina, I suggest Pshat is that if you really want to know who Aaron HaKohen actually is, look at the Talmidim. Who are the Talmidim that they produce? If the Talmidim exemplify being an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom, or the type of people that are Mekabel, everyone to savor Panim Yafos, greet everyone with a smile, bring people close to Torah, engender good feelings and goodwill, then you knew that that is exactly who Aaron HaKohen indeed was. You can't fool Talmidim. Talmidim, like children, are able to identify, are able to see a mile away exactly who someone, who the Rebbe really is, who the parent actually is, what they actually stand for. And that's why, explains Rav Shimon Schwab, there's a need to come and question, was he actually a tzaddik tamim? Was he a pure tzaddik? That's the question that the Medrash poses. There's always something beneath the surface. There's always something that needs a little bit more clarity, clarification. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that there's no question about it. That when the Torah says, Kimala ha'aretz chamas, that the world was filled with corruption, there's no question that it's kimashmo, that it means gezel. Well, then why is it that the Medrash is using our pasuk to teach us that it refers to Avodah Zarah? He explains that chamas became the attitude of the land. People would just randomly go and take things that don't belong to you. To the naked eye, it appears that there's simply a problem of stealing. You're a ganav. So you know what? We have to rehabilitate you. We have to teach you that you don't take that which doesn't belong to you. That's the naked eye. That's the superficial eye. Though if you dig a little bit deeper, when it becomes the law of the land and everyone is doing it, it now has a din of avodah zarah, of idolatry. This becomes the law of the land. I'm fanatical about this. It no longer is simply stealing, but now my stealing has taken on a form of avodah zarah. She'im ha'aretz, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, she'im ha'aretz kula hichlita levatel echad midine ha'torah. If an entire land actively decides to nullify one of the halachos of the Torah, v'kiblu aleihem, and they accept upon themselves, lehisnaheg al pidinim v'chukim chadashim, they want to act in a new, different way. Im kein hare ein heim ovdei Hashem, then they're no longer serving Hashem, but rather ovdim l'mashu huzar, they're serving something alien, something foreign. Superficially, on the surface, it appears like it's gezel. But if you really look at the essence of what that society, that community was actually doing, is they were uprooting the Torah. And when one uproots the Torah and replaces it with something else, that is a form of avodah zarah. When the entire land is doing one thing that's alien, that's foreign from the Torah, that's avodah zarah. Kimola ha'aretz, the entire world was involved in gezel. When an entire world uproots a mitzvah in the Torah, that by extension is gezel. And that's why, explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Medrash uses the pasuk that seemingly is referring to gezel to suggest that it's actually referring to avodah zarah. But it took looking beneath, looking beyond. And just as the Torah was able to look beyond Noach and check his toldos, check his mesorah, and from Noach came Rishayim, and therefore it was Megala. It reveals to us actually who is Noach potentially. The Torah is teaching us that look beyond the superficial. It's not just gezel, but it's something much more profound, much more dangerous. It's none other than avodah zarah, than idolatry, because the entire world was uprooting one mitzvah in the Torah. That is a form of avodah zarah. And the reality is, even when we think indeed something is good, it's actually bad. But also when we think something is bad, it might actually be good. Noach comes and says, what purpose do you have? What good are you? You can't be eaten. You can't be slaughtered. And that's the taina that Noach has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, name. It's not true. There's going to be a time where that Arav, that raven, who's always bad, there's something beneath the surface. There's something down the line that's going to produce tremendous peros. And the Medrash tells us there's such an idea, such a yesod, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Vayetze El Echav, he went out to his brothers Vayar Bisivlosam, and he saw that there was an Egyptian that was chepering, that was harassing a Jew. Sukkim tell us Vayifen Kovacho, that he looked this way and he looked that way. What does that mean, that he looked this way and he looked that way? So Rashi tells us something very, very interesting. Rashi tells us that he wanted to see what this person's yachas was. He wanted to see whether someone great was going to come from this person. He looked this way and he looked that way. He looked to see what would happen in the future. Meaning, even if someone is a Rasha today, it's very possible in the future, Lo'asid, there's something good that might come out of even something bad. There's so much more than the surface. There's so much more that we're not privy to, that we don't see. But the Torah is megale it to us. The Torah opens up our eyes. The Torah says, don't judge. Because we don't know what's going to come. We think something's good, but really something's bad. Noach, we thought, was a tzaddik. No. But look what's going to come from him. We thought that all it is gezel. Not a big deal. Perhaps people are questioning, why should the world be destroyed because of Gezel? But the Torah is Megala. The Torah reveals to us, Kimala Haaretz Chamas, if the entire world is corrupt, that is a form of Avodah Zarah. That's beneath the surface. Kodesh Baruch Hu is donning this world no different than an Ir HaNidachas, an entire city that is worshipping idols. The Arav, the raven. Seemingly there's no purpose. But ultimately there is a purpose. We don't see it, but generations later, that Arav was going to come and was going to produce and sustain Eliyahu HaNavi. We are not able to judge. So even when we say something is tummy, but really HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that there's something tahar potentially beneath the surface. Havidan is kol ha'adam l'kav schus. It's incumbent upon judging all people, meaning not just the tzaddikim, or not even this generation. But kol means all generations. We have to look vayifen kovacho like Moshe Rabbeinu. And just as Moshe Rabbeinu was looking to see, is something going to come from this generation? So too, it's incumbent for us, kol, all, havidan is kol ha'adam, all men, all generations. Because ultimately we don't know what will emanate from this generation. Have a wonderful night.